we are very much appreciative of the Lord's guidance over each of us this past year, and looking forward to this new calendar year that we are necessarily aligning with on all of our plans and planners and budgets and everything that goes on as we progress. And we were having this class with the children during the convention about God's plan of the ages, the chart. And needless to say, Daniel gave us a very good definition of what the chart of the ages is, which was really very nicely in a nutshell. I couldn't even quite repeat the way that he said it so well. But then we asked the question, well, what is time? And another girl, Olivia, gave us a good definition that I may have mentioned earlier, that time is the space which we fill with our activities. And I thought it was just so fitting. And so we have this space that we necessarily have to fill with worthwhile activities. We reflect on things we have done before in the space that was given to us before. And now we have some space that we can plan on and determine what things we will be doing that are ahead of us. But as we remember our experiences of 2019, each of us has definitely some of the things that have happened to both our lives and to the lives of those around us. We remember those who have finished their course, those who've more recently been on our minds and hearts, dear Sister Marge, Brother Tim, many others who've, Sister Clanky, many others who've been such a big part of the encouragement and the examples we've been deriving from their walk with the Master. And we remember all the lessons, as many as possible, to remember over the 52 Sundays that we had, and conventions and testimony meetings and weeknight studies and the Sunday studies that we have. It's hard sometimes for me to, at the end of the day, say, what was that discourse about? What was that study about? But I think there is definitely that effect for us, that when we participate in the lessons, we, at least as someone said, you know, maybe I don't retain a lot of water in this this woven vessel that I have. A lot of it just basically pours out, but at least what happens is it gets cleaned. You know, you pour a lot of water through it, sure, you don't retain much, but you have that effect of learning these lessons and appreciating them. And so we just want to express our gratitude for this to our Heavenly Father. And as we look at the events around us, and even though this year starts so with such a big turn of events that may determine a lot of things that will be going on, but we all that we can say, and you can read a lot of great things that happened and things that are concerns, but that the world needs the kingdom, and that's a good summary, I think, for what we see and what we expect. Hopefully in very near future, to see that his kingdom will provide the solution to all the problems and woes with willing participation of the world. But now let's read a first verse from a poem that was put in the reprints. I think it was in the 1890 reprint or article in the Watchtower that Brother Russell thought it was fitting to put it there. So we've asked Sister Rebecca to start this verse for us, and we'll have four verses read throughout our devotional. The New Year.
The New Year. Gone with our yesterdays, folded apart, laid by with the treasures we hide in the heart. The year that hath left us so silently shod has carried its records of earth unto God. How strange was its mingling of bitter and sweet, its trials how heavy, its pleasures how fleet. How often its mercies surprised us unsought, how frequent the gifts to our hands which it brought. Alas, that we shadowed its glory with sin, nor battled its beautiful trophies to win. and thanks unto him who gave pardon and rest and wrought for his children whatever was best.
Thank you, Sister Rebecca. And, you know, I think only those who pay attention to what happens in their lives, and those who are guided by God or who wish to be guided by God, that have this reflective mind to really see how the year has gone and to see it in spiritual dimensions that help us make progress on our path. So with that, we appreciate that there are so many different hymns, and there is this one hymn that I was looking to see if possibly there is the English translation of it. I did not find it. It's from a German composer, as I understand it. A new year has come and gone, and that through it's only through your grace, God, that I am still here and I can look to this grace to carry me on. But perhaps we'll find it and we'll have an opportunity to play it or share it in the future. But for now, let's sing together hymn 363, Great is Thy Faithfulness, which so well describes our gratitude to our Heavenly Father for his loving kindness through our prior, the time before us, and the hope in the future. We love this hymn, and we almost I think many of us remember it by heart, and so the fact that these letters are so small on the screen may not be a problem, but they always look much bigger when I prepare it, and then it turns out they are kind of small. So we'll do better next time. And, you know, we have the beginning and the end of a year, but also an ending and a beginning of a decade. And when Brother Paul was leading a study at our seminar a few days ago, he was asking the young people, where do you see yourselves, 5 years from now? Which is a little easier thing, perhaps, to kind of roll out in terms of what we are striving for, where we want to be. I think a decade is also somewhat easier. And why? Because it's easy to see those changes that take place over a longer period of time. Maybe when we look at the last year, it seems like, you know, a lot of different events, but you cannot possibly have a very defined, like, where was I last year and where I am today, because oftentimes it's just too close together. But when you think about a decade, I think it's a little easier. So we're looking from the past perspective, you know, a decade ago, if for a moment we reflect on what in the year 2010 we were doing, what stage of our life we were at, how much growth has occurred since that time, which I'm sure we are very grateful for. What losses, you know, is not with us anymore over these years. And we see how our place and how our perspective and growth has really progressed and how it has changed. We remember this verse from 1 Samuel 7:12, from which we derive the word Ebenezer. And this is from the Hebrew word stone of help. Interesting. It's not that you're looking for help in the stone, but it reminds you of all the help that you have received from the Lord. And then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So as we look not only at the last year, but also at the decade that has gone since, in the last decade, we see and reflect the Lord's gracious hand over us. And perhaps we can more clearly remember the turning points, the different events in our family lives, in our consecration lives, in our personal understandings that have made a big difference to us in the last decade. And let's be grateful for these Ebenezers that the Lord has provided for us in the help that he has extended. And where do we want to be now in 10 years? And you know what? I really appreciated Sister Joanna's comment once when she was at a point where she was looking for new employment. Instead of saying, I wonder what I'm going to do, what it is that I want to do, she said it so well, I want to know what the Lord has for me to do. I'm really curious what the Lord has in mind. And it was it's such a refreshing example to us. So where does the Lord need us over the next 10 years? Can we open our eyes and our ears spiritually and understand what it is that we can do for our Lord that would be pleasing to him, that would be aligned with his will, that would help others, that would help promote the truth, that would help for us to be a blessing? And for that, we have a scripture that encourages us that the Lord will be there with us to help us with it. Now, I'm going to see if there's any way that someone from the front row, perhaps, or second row can read this verse because their letters are facing. Oh, wait, we have the Zoom feature. Okay, let's try this. All right. So I'll just zoom in. Okay, now Daniel, I know you weren't expecting this, but would you be able to read this for us and emphasize those words that are in bold.
Wait, the entire scripture?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform, complete it, until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:3-6 and Samuel 7:12.
Thank you. You've read even the one that I pasted there inadvertently, 1 Samuel 7:12. That was the prior verse. But we appreciate what you've read. And the sentiments that we thank God for every remembrance, that's said by the apostle, and that he who has begun the good work in us will perform it. When we think about the decade that's ahead of us, and we see the work that the Lord has already started in each of us, perhaps even the work in our young friend Daniel, where do we see him in 10 years? And on the spiritual progress. In us, as we are starting chapters in our life, our young children yet to be born, and our years that perhaps indicate we are looking to graciously and gracefully prove our faithfulness in our lives up until the very end to our Heavenly Father. May we be mindful of this assistance, just like he showed us and gave us those landmarks of his help, so that he will continue to support us and will perform it or complete it until that great day. And to us, that date is the date of our faithfulness. Be thou faithful unto death. So now we are also mindful of this verse that the Apostle John wrote, 1 John 2:12-14. And here we have three generations that are mentioned. And he says here, I am writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you've overcome the evil one. And again, immediately after, he repeats the same groups. I write to you children because you know the Father. Write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. And I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. And I often wonder why he said it twice and if there is any difference between these two. I think the tense is different here. Writing and I write, and other translations may render it differently. But even if it was something that he thought he wrote already and he writes it again, maybe it was a slight human, I don't want to say human error, but just a human intent of saying, these are important things. I want to say it to all three generations. And someone said, perhaps this doesn't necessarily mean the age, but rather our progression on this pathway of spiritual development, where we as children have and experience the forgiveness of sins. And then as we continue, we become young men and learn to overcome the temptations, to overcome the evil influences. And finally, as those advanced in our Christian walk, we appreciate fully the character of our Heavenly Father and know him who is from the beginning. Very much along the lines of Brother Aaron's lesson this morning, how we progressively grow from fear to a concern that we may disappoint our Heavenly Father, to finally not wanting to cause him displeasure, and the growth in our spiritual maturity. So now we would like to just quickly, since we are on this decade thing, I thought that we'd quickly have some quotes from the three decades of the truth movement along the years of along the decades that we could kind of trace in Brother Russell's writings. So 1890, 1900, and 1910. And we would like to do that. First of all, 1890, you know, when you look at this, you know, 1880 would have been the first decade. But if you recall, the first issue of the Watchtower and the magazine that, that Brother Russell had authored and contributed to largely was actually in 1879. So 1880 would have been just the very first year. And even though it was a turn of a decade, I don't think there was much of a kind of activity that would have been highlighted there, because the 1874 would have been not before a decade was started, and around those years that the Brethren's movement had started. But then right here in 1890, we have the various events that took place. For example, they moved to from Pittsburgh to, I believe it was already to New York, and therefore much more activity and opportunities were able to happen. And then there is the article, Greetings for the New Year. So I'll just read this real quick here. Beloved readers, it is with the hearts full of thankfulness that we acknowledge the divine favors in the year just closed. The 23rd Psalm voices our sentiments. The Lord has graciously continued His gentle leading of His sheep beside still waters and into the fresh green pastures of His truth. Our table He has supplied with viands of grace and knowledge bountifully, even in the presence of our enemies, who sometimes have been those near and dear to us, enemies to the truth because of the blinding of the great adversary Satan. And we know from your precious letters received during the year that this, our experience, has been yours. And we continue. Now in the dawn of the new year, we feel that we can apply to ourselves and to God's consecrated ones the words of the last verse of this psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall attend me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell forever in the house of the Lord. Let us, beloved, not only appreciate the bounties of our table, but more and more feed upon the precious truth. And let us seek more and more to make use of the strength that this food imparts, laboring in Christ's service, that we may become more and more strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I think this last portion of this progression, yeah, we can be rejoicing in the riches of the truth, but what if we don't take it from this table? And what if we don't appropriate it to ourselves? What if we don't, in addition to just being glad that we have the truth, what if we don't make the truth our own? And then what if we don't actually put it in action? And now a poem that we have asked Sister Leah to read for us. This is the second stanza of that poem that we've had from 1890.
The New Year. Cometh in winter the year that is new. Snowfall and frost rime, and starbeam and dew. Shine of the daisies and blush of the clover, rose cup and lily for bees to hang over. Stir of the wind in the waves of the wheat, smile of the violet low at our feet. Fruitage of orchard and cluster of vine, seed time and harvest, O man, will be thine. Once more in this year, for what hath been, shall be, while the rivers of time seek eternity's sea.
Thank you. I think it would probably go well with to one tune of the Christmas carol, but it's a very delightful poem, which dwells on the blessings of every day, and also expecting and being grateful for the things that have gone and those that we can continue to depend on. That the sun will rise, that the harvest will yield, and for the thousands of years that the Lord has continued supporting this world of mankind with the hope of continuing to show them more and more of His wonderful character and love. Now we shift quickly to the 1900s, to the decade that not only is the decade of a new decade, but also a new century. And we read a review of from an article actually written at the end of 1899, at the close of that decade, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The end of the year and the beginning of another is a most favorable occasion for circumspection and retrospection. We know the difference between those. We trust that as each reader reviews the year just closing, he will be able to repeat our golden text appreciatively. Bless the Lord of my soul, with the spirit and with the understanding also. One of the least expensive offering we can present to the Lord our God, and yet one which he will appreciate very highly, is thanksgiving for mercies past and present. How much more should we offer this thanksgiving, we who have received so abundantly of the riches of divine grace in the knowledge of his truth, the plan of the ages. We may well apply to ourselves on this occasion the words of our dear Redeemer: blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and many righteous persons have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. And as much as it was true in the Lord's day that his presence with the apostles was such a unique privilege that they had, and I think so is this privilege at the end of the age, to see a more complete view of the truth, of the harmony that the gospel and time as it is fulfilled brings to the understanding of God's plan, his plan of the ages, which this chart illustrates quite well, we feel. We continue. The close of the year is an excellent time also for making new resolutions for the year to come. And on the present occasion, there is an added force from the fact that the year before us will be the last one of the century. Let us, beloved brethren, make plenty of good resolve, respecting what we shall be willing to be, to do, to suffer in fellowship with our Lord, that we may by his grace make of it the best year thus far in our lives, the year of largest hopes, largest endeavors, and by the Lord's grace, the largest successes in self-sacrifice, in overcoming the world in its spirit, in vanquishing self and the desires of the flesh, in resisting the adversary and glorifying our Lord and blessing his people. So these would be the objectives for the success and what that success means, the spiritual sacrifices and overcoming. This was a year in which the century was turning. And as we look at this year, 1900, already 120 years since that time, we see the great changes that have taken place. And yet, largely, I think we would agree that the joy of this truth, of the harmony, and the subsequent generations that have come into the truth have been so consistent, and we can echo these sentiments, and we can echo the principles of the sacrifices that we are still to be focused on in our personal lives. Now a third verse to be read by Sister Sue. Sister Sue is right here.
So, a happy new year to the babe and the mother, to the gentle wee sister and the rosy-cheeked brother. A happy new year to the aged who wait till the Lord opens wide the paradise gate. A happy new year unto those who have learned how rich are the rewards which labor has earned. And a happy new year to the weary who cling through sorrow and pain to the cross of the King.
Thank you, Sister Sue. How beautiful these words are and reflect on all stages of our lives, and how well we can depend on our Lord for his help at all of these stages. Just like we read about the Ebenezer and the three generations of spiritual growth and development. We now go on to the last decade on our list, 1910, because 1920 was not already documented, and Brother Russell finished his course in 1916. But in reprint 4530, there is a report on the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and its activities and financial statements. Undoubtedly, that was the most vibrant time of the movement, and the volumes and scale of activities was very high, and there was a cause for a lot of excitement, appreciation, and joy. In fact, the words we should congratulate the brethren and ourselves for these accomplishments were used. But here is a summarization of something that we wanted to dwell on. From various quarters. Now, this actually is not necessarily a positive statement. This is because this time, and I forgot to mention this. This time was also, despite the activities that were so promising and so exciting, was also a time of a division among the brethren. Let's read a little. Even in the summary that Brother Russell gives here, what this division was about. From various quarters, the word came to us that the leaders of classes were protesting that Watchtower publications should not be referred to in the meetings, but merely the Bible. This sounded loyal to God's word, but it was not so. It was merely the effort of those teachers to come between the people of God and the divinely provided light upon God's word. Let us remember that Satan is behind such a move as that. He poses as an angel of light and a defender of the Bible. And yet he has succeeded in blinding millions with Bibles in their hands and in regular Bible study classes. Why would it be any more disloyal to the Bible to consult the Watchtower publications respecting the meaning of a verse of Scripture than to consult the leader of the class of any of its members? Ah, says the leader, it would be right enough to consult the Watchtower publication, only that since from them you got nearly all you know about the Bible, that is rational, you are inclined to stick to those things. I would like you to forget them and let me lead you in a hunt after the old style, in which anything found is more likely to be confusing than helpful. So what we see here, I think, is a slightly sarcastic representation of the position that some had taken during that time, that they did not wish to have the Watchtower content and articles read in the studies or referred to in the studies, but rather just simply use almost like disavow this content and this message. And Brother Russell's stand on this. So, you know, I think that it is an important question, an important balance that we need to maintain even in our times today. I would like to have the assurance that I am not just following some sort of some man's findings, some things that I am pressed and forced to believe. And yet, if there is an accomplished set of the truths that we find it hard to argue or find, that we appreciate and find reasonable, it's probably a recommended and a wise thing to consider them. Because otherwise, we would be developing and reinventing things that are difficult to keep in our minds. And as this bottom line here says, a hunt after the old style. And so there's got to be a balance. And I think that's a lesson that we learn from this decade summarizing article. And he also says this: on the other hand, we forewarn all that Satan surely will try to lead them to an opposite course, to learn parrot-like to answer Berean questions from the printed page without comprehending the meaning. So here is what he says. The question should be discussed freely by all first, and then before proceeding to the next question, the Don answer should be considered and discussed and understood. Never forget that the Bible is our standard, and that however God-given our helps may be, they are helps and not substitutes for the Bible. So just a reminder, if we encounter certain, you know, balancing discussions, I think this is something that the brethren were struggling with, and Brother Russell's recommendation for the course of action here. And now a more positive ending from this report. How fast they fly, these busy harvest years. How golden are their hours for reaping work and for the ripening work in our own hearts and the filling and rounding out of our own characters. Hours and days of toils and danger, yet wonderful in their compensating joys of grace and truth. Now, it was very interesting that in 1910, Brother Russell had a very active schedule. And if you recognize this building, this is apparently the auditorium, currently also hosts Roosevelt University. And in that building in 1910, so 110 years ago, Brother Russell's busy schedule allowed it to, on January 2nd, so it would be 110 years, and 3 days ago, he would have been presenting, and there was a public meeting. Let's see here. It was a morning rally for praise and testimony at 10 o'clock, and addressed to the interest at 11 o'clock, afternoon service for the public in the auditorium here at Congress and Wabash Avenue. Apparently, this auditorium building was actually in disrepair for many decades, right around the Great Depression, a few decades after, but has been redone and right now is available for events and so on. So here is the inside of it, probably where Brother Russell had the speech about 110 years ago. So we just dwell on some of these decades, and we are hopeful that the decade that is ahead of us will lead us to greater devotion, greater understanding, and that our these different stages of our lives will be, as is our hope, will be with our desire to be guided by our Heavenly Father. So now the last verse of this poem is now going to Sister Josie, and we will conclude shortly thereafter.
Dear Christ, by thy passion, thy grace, and thy power, assist us, uplift us in each clouded hour, and still by denial, bestowal, delay, whatever's needful, oh, give us, we pray. The year that is far above rubies shall be the year of our lives that is closest to thee. And precious and sacred our changes shall grow if heaven light o'er them in tenderness glow. Let the burdens of woe and the conflicts of care alike be relieved by the breathings of prayer. And happy or only resigned, let us rise each morning and evening the songs of thy praise.
Thank you, Sister Josie. I just wanted to bring up a couple of points that we heard this morning from Brother Aaron's discourse, and I think that he didn't have time to put it up on the board, but we wanted to put them up here. Read God's word, believe his word, claim what it says, trust, and when you're all done with that, repeat. May these be some good elements of advice and practice for us. And now, to close, we'd like to play a hymn day by day and with each passing moment. It's a beloved hymn from our European contingent in other languages. We actually sang it not too long ago around the seminar time. And now this will be played and sung in English. And after that, we will ask Sister Jeannie to close with prayer. Once again, it is our wish for us that we continue with the Lord's blessing, that we may be blessing for one another, and that we continue to grow in our forgiveness and harmony and seeking the Lord's will and to be pleasing to Him.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for the way you have led us, for the heritage which we have, for this class and the shoulders which we stand on. We thank you so much for those who have just passed, because we are that much closer to the establishment of your kingdom. Be with each who are bereaved and those hurting in through their trials. We are especially grateful, though, for the activities of this class and what they have done throughout this country, the publishing and the seminars, the camps. And we thank you for the Christian resources so we can go back and listen to these wonderful talks. We thank you for our conventions, and we ask all of these things in the dear name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.